DiscerningHearts.com presents Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. Pope John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
When they gathered as a community, there were about 120 of them, and they gathered in this upper room, and they were very much frightened because their leader had been killed and was gone out of their sight. Mary, who had already experienced the Holy Spirit, she had experienced the Holy Spirit when Jesus was conceived in her womb, was now awaiting for that second coming for her. But these never had received that Spirit. And as she was preparing them, there's the mother of the church. She was getting them ready, and they were there for 9 days, from Thursday until Sunday. And when on that Sunday, Pentecost occurs, so that this driving wind comes right there, blows the doors open, and tongues of fire come upon them, and they are transformed, and they burst out of that room with Mary, 120 of them, and they begin preaching and teaching and baptizing, and the church is born. That's the birthday of the church, Pentecost. And I love the feast of baptism because that's Pentecost. And I love the resurrection because that's when Jesus conquered death. He had conquered sin. He had conquered Satan. He had conquered death. And now the triumph is there, the first human to have ever conquered Satan and sin and death, the Savior of us all, the captain of the force of light. But now his plan has not yet been unfolded. And that's why I had talked about some time ago, we are a 90-day people, not a 40. Lent introduces us to the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The 50 days later, the 90-day period, is when we become incorporated into that divine life. Because he appears to them for another 40 days and showing them and encouraging them that he is alive, but knows that nothing outside of themselves will transform them. They see him, they touch him. The presence of Jesus in our day, if he were to come and manifest himself physically as he did to them, it's not as great as what he is doing for us through his manifestation within us that is transforming us into himself. He would still be external to me. Jesus, the Savior, if he remained in that 40-day period of appearances, would still be outside. Pentecost is he comes into me. The intimacy that he wants with every human being is greater than to appear to us. There's a false spirituality when I hear people talking about, oh, if I could only see him. That's not as great as what we're saying. You have him through baptism in you. He is in you. You are as related to the Father by this union that you have through baptism as he is to the Father. Jesus is in you, to the baptized and confirmed, and especially me as an ordained Christian. now, and my relationship is to the Father, and I am constantly being more deeply transformed into the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says in Ephesians 3:14, I kneel before the Father, from whom every child in heaven and on earth, that he is the father of every family. So the Father now is the Father of us all. And he dwells in our inner self. He dwells in me and in you.
On that first Pentecost, Monsignor, it's key, isn't it, that those who were there, the word received comes to my mind. I mean, that they were open and they were ready to receive the Spirit. How often, you know, even today we're called to a new Pentecost, but if we don't receive him,
yes.
I mean, he doesn't force himself. I mean, it's not as though he is going to penetrate us against our will. I mean, we have to be in a disposition where we desire it and we open ourselves. Am I overstating
no,
that?
No, absolutely. I have a young seminarian who's on retreat with me, and he has chosen this time particularly to make this retreat. And he has been opening his heart, and he began it at the beginning of this period of 9 days, that he's opening his heart. He wants to receive. And the amazing thing is, what he is beginning to realize is he has never really received the Holy Spirit into his heart the way he is beginning to see it, that he now is Christ in a way he had never seen before. That new perception, yes. When I hear him now grasping that and seeing that truth, yes, you're right. And there's a hardness in our hearts many times that prevents us from seeing the depth of that unity in our hearts.
I look at some members in the church, and I know at one point in my life, I hope it's not the case now, that I too was closed. I mean, I might have gone through baptism, I received confirmation, and yet that hardness somehow came about, that where I would go through the motions, where I went to Mass, heaven forbid that it should be the case today, but maybe that's why the church is being called to this new evangelization. Why would it desire that if some members of the church had not received, even though they are members of the church, they haven't yet fully received?
When I am dealing with that kind of Catholic that you're talking about, they really do see the sacraments as something, not someone, that the particularity of the relationship, we're in relationship with someone. Baptism, he and I become one. There's the relationship that is set up. The Father and I, as the Father is one with me, and I with the Father, so I want to be one with you. And the unity of the Father and I is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Trinity is a relationship now that we have and we are living in. The sacrament of confirmation is the relationship of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is someone. He is transforming me that I may worship and glorify and adore the Father. It's our whole relationship. It's with God and he with us. He speaks to me. That's what happens in relationship. And I to him. He gives to me. Receive me. The greatest gift he gives me is himself. And I give myself to him. And now we're one. He in us, we in him. And there's a transformation. It's all relational. The sacrament of the Eucharist doesn't make any sense. But yet, I really believe that people can go to Mass and receive something. that the host is something, that on the altar they can be there, baptize confirmed Christians, and not see someone. The Eucharist is someone. What I have when I go before the Eucharist in the tabernacle or in the monstrance when I kneel before him, I'm in relationship with someone. He in me, I in him. Which in a living way, I really believe like all those who are married in Christ have a relationship with one another in him. As Christ lives in each other, two baptized Christians entering into the sacrament of marriage, you are a tabernacle, you are Christ to one another. The magnificence of the gift of sacrament, that you have a living relationship with Christ in one another as husband and wife. What a magnificent living out of the married vocation, as I am living out the magnificence of my ordination. And so the calling of the church to be Christ to the world and to proclaim Christ to the world, and the greatest proclamation is to allow ourselves to be radiating through us to the whole world.
Well, as you were speaking of that, I was thinking of that beautiful example, the gift of Priscilla and Aquila in the Acts of the Apostles, and how they as a married couple were such great friends, such great support for St. Paul in his ministry. And they had to run a business, they had to take care of family and the community, and yet they were able to go out and live that baptismal gift of proclamation to the world. And they would be eventually martyred in the church, like St. Paul.
They were aware of their transformation in Christ. The magnificence of the Acts of the Apostles, the reading this first history book of the church, is putting before the eyes of the members of the church the words, here are those who were ordinary disciples and members of Jesus, but they were external to him. Now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they have become one with him in his body. And they were aware of that they were one body with Christ. That magnificent transformation in Paul, when Paul gets struck off his horse, and he's asked, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? To persecute the Christians is to persecute me. I am in them, they are in me. That message went out to that early church. Couldn't you see what would happen to the entire world if we became aware that we are Christ, that I am no longer I, but Christ lives in me? As Paul says in the second chapter of Galatians, verse 20, I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. That the one who speaks and the one who acts is no longer I, but is Christ, through me and with me and in me. This new Pentecost would hit the world like fire, that this whole world would be so transformed overnight, if each of us could come again to recognize who I am in the world and the church today.
Isn't that one of the reasons why some close themselves off from that and are very comfortable with the idea that it's something that I receive?
Yes.
And not someone, because, wow, that you're talking about it. What if that someone asked me to give up everything and follow him?
Yes.
I like my stuff. Yeah. I don't want to give up everything.
The attachment that I have to the self. You see, there are all kind of capital sins, but the deepest one is pride. And the altar with which who I worship in my deepest self is not Christ, who is in me, but myself. And that's the tension, that daily and hourly, I'm either choosing what God wants me to do, the will of the Father, or what I want to do. And so I choose. And so if I harden my heart, so from now on, even though I'm a baptized, confirmed Christian, or even ordained, I can do what I want to do, and not what the Father wants me to do. Because Jesus always does the will of his Father. And that Jesus who is in me gives me the power to always do the will of the Father. But I can, and he always wants to give us that freedom, maintain to do what I want to do, even though externally I'm a baptized, confirmed Christian. I'm not doing what he wants me to, but what I want to. And I worship at the throne and the altar of myself. I, myself, and me. And that one self-centeredness is really where the division comes between me and God, and me and my husband, and me and my neighbor, and me and the world. And I isolate myself because this is what I choose to do. Yeah, we have that choice.
We'll return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essiff in just a moment. Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app in which you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Deacon James Keating, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more are found on the Discerning Hearts free app. Did you also know that you can stream Discerning Hearts programming on numerous streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and so many more? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has the YouTube page? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I,
that others may be esteemed more than I,
that in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
that others may be chosen and I set aside,
that others may be praised and I unnoticed,
that others may be preferred to me in everything,
that others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
We now return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essiff.
Isn't there also a danger for those who are now hearing what you're saying and thinking, well, I can see that person over there is doing that, and that person over there is doing that, and they think, well, I'm doing well, I'm doing fine. And yet that conversion is a verb. It's a constant movement towards Jesus. Even we may think we're fully accepting and fully converted, but we're not, because it's an ongoing process, isn't it?
What I think we constantly do, whether it's with ourselves, our families, our country, we want to remake and rebuild, and which can be very easily an external activity. What I have to do when something gets torn down, when I fall, is I have to repent. Repentance is different than rebuilding. And, you know, if whatever it is that I'm suffering from, that if it's drugs and alcohol, if it's any other kind of activity that takes me away from God, whatever that might be, if it's sex, if that's what I have gone through, if it's drugs or alcohol, if it's attachment to another person that took me away from God, whatever, if it's riches, if it's honor that has replaced God in my life, everything that is less than God is not what I was made for. I was made to be filled with immortality. I was made to be filled with endless life. My soul is really seeking God first. And so no matter how many millions or billions I can accumulate, no matter how many honors I can have, if it all to the aggrandizement of myself, if I only act in order to give myself pleasure, if I only am wanting in gluttony or in sobriety and drunkenness to want to satisfy me, all of those, if I'm going to really change, require not rebuilding. I'm going to renew myself and remake, but really the key thing that's needed there is repentance, that the soul and also the nation must repent, that the change, of in order for the change to be substantial, how often and over and over again through these gospel teachings alongside of the Acts of the Apostles, our Lord is inviting us to repent of our sins, to repent of our straying, to, when we find ourselves lost, to repent. Now, repentance means a radical change in my whole way of thinking, in my whole way of being. I live, no, not for myself. And that's it. And that repentance is very personal, that my sinfulness is what has brought about this brokenness, this strain, this loss. The nation now has accepted abortion. This is going to cause such a brokenness in one or two generations. You know, this, we're going to see just where this is going to lead us when we are so borrowing on our future that our whole financial world is broken. The system is broken. We're living on this future, and it's like there's a madness to it. What does this require to individuals and to a nation? Repentance. America will become great, and I will become great only when I repent. And it is truly that as a nation, we must repent to God. It's God whom we're offending. Therefore, we have to come back to God and tell God we're sorry. And so individually and as a nation, repentance is required, or there will not be a renewal.
And it's really deep. I go back to that moment that you so beautifully painted for us of Pentecost, and how those 120, along with the Blessed Mother in the center, receive him so deeply that when they run out, I mean, they actually run out in the face of a world they were afraid of, and so openly proclaim Christ that through them the transformation of lives happen. And they're so transformed that Saint Stephen can be standing there and proclaiming the kingdom in the face of danger, and yet he sees the kingdom of heaven right before his eyes. So there is no fear. That has to go so deep in us then, that even that saying, I'm sorry for a behavior, I'm sorry that this hurts somebody, you have to almost go so deep that you have to renounce the behavior, you know, whatever it was that led you to do that act. For you have to go so deep. It's not just, I'm sorry I lied about this, but I'm sorry I lie. Do you know where I'm going with that, Monsignor?
Absolutely. What you're really seeing is that the person who has betrayed and not lived the truth has to repent and say, no, I lied. And this is my sin against the truth. And and so we all have to enter into this process. Yes.
Yeah, it has to go very, very deep.
I wonder if some of this is being heard by men who are in Afghanistan, American soldiers, or those who have returned from Iraq, who are paralyzed, and who have given so much for America, for all of us to have what we do have as a country. And when you return, the power and the gift that you gave us in sacrificing, or even as I look at those numbers who have died, you know, there are those whose lives were given. There are those whose bodies have been broken for the United States, for America. What suffering you've gone through and what you have given to us. And here I'm talking about repentance, that when I think of you and when I look at you, what you have given, as you are going through this, for the love of yourself and for the love of your country, that the power and opportunity you now have to have within you your suffering, your dying, your being broken, and to unite that with Jesus. As I focus on you and say, you're Christ in the world, you have been united with Jesus. Each one of you, and if you are not a Catholic Christian, the Holy Spirit has come to you in every one of your hearts, men and women, in every one of your hearts is that power. That power is that which took you beyond yourself. That power is that which can take you now beyond self and go to God with your broken limbs and bodies, your amputated foot, whatever that might be, and to give that to God. What a sacrifice you have. And during this time, but I would encourage you to go to God and offer every brokenness that you have, every sacrifice that you can to God. That's what Jesus did. And that's only by the power of the Spirit that you can do that. And only by the power of the Spirit can you do what you have done. And if you're a baptized Christian, through him and with him and in him, you are giving glory to the Father for the whole world, not only for your nation, but for the whole world. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff. To hear and or to download this program, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esmond.